We declare there's no name like yours, no name given heaven and earth by which man could be saved. You know what I love about the word? It says no name in this age or in the age to come. It's like, let's just go ahead and lay it all on the line. Never been before and in this time or to come. Can you guys grab that? Yeah. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to say to us tonight. Our hearts are open, God. We're ready to hear something fresh and something new, God. And we declare we're not afraid to let go of old thinking. God, we know you can't give us something new unless we let go of something old, God. So we're prepared, we're ready to be challenged, God, because just the same way that you, God, are eternal, you're always revealing yourself, revealing more of your glory. And so how could we think that we get to stay in the mindset that we've always had if you are revealing and showing more, God? So take us to higher heights, God. Take us deeper, Lord. Let us draw deeper waters than we have before. We give you the glory and honor in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, PFC. Come on, let's welcome Brother Andrew Hopkins. For the word tonight.
Come on, Jesus. Come on, let's clap our hands real big and shout for Jesus in the house tonight. Yeah. Come on.
Come on.
We praise your name tonight, Lord.
Yes, hallelujah.
Come on, those of you watching at home, just holler. Who cares? Your neighbors might think you're crazy. That's all good. Thank you, brother. Come on, are you guys blessed in the house of the Lord tonight?
Yes.
Come on, I just feel like, just let's lift our hands to the Lord. God, we thank you. We just sang, name another king like this. Like, what other God has died and rose again of his own accord, laid his own life down and resurrected, died as a lamb as a sacrifice and rose as the Lion of Judah. Father, we praise you for that. We thank you that all authority in heaven and earth belongs to Jesus. We thank you for the King of Kings in the room tonight. We thank you, God, that you are near. You, like the theologians, you're omnipresent. You're everywhere at all times, and you're next to each one of us. And Father, we thank you that it's who you are. Who you are. You've always been who you are, from everlasting to everlasting. You are God, and God, we thank you tonight that who you are, you've always been, and you always will be. There's never been a day that you've not been God. You've always been God, from everlasting to everlasting, the one who was and is to come, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are still the same. You are immutable. You are unchangeable. You are unshakable. You are immovable, God. Nothing can shake you, and what you've said and what you've done, nothing can hinder the purposes of God. And we praise you for that, because we're anchored in higher reality. We're anchored in heaven. We're anchored in heaven. We're anchored in the kingdom of God, which is greater than what we see with our natural eyes. And Father, I thank you tonight. We do, as we say often here, we pull on heaven tonight. We thank you for fresh revelation. We thank you for healing and miracles. God, we thank you for lives being transformed in the presence of God as we behold Jesus, the unchanging one. God, you're unchanging. You are omniscient. You've never learned anything. You've always just known everything. I don't even get that. But you're greater than we know, God. You're never changing. And your word has so much power. Jesus, you said your word is spirit and it's life. And so, Lord, we receive, we pull on the realm of heaven tonight, God. We want more than hype. We want more than just average. We want more than nominal. We want to encounter the living God. We love you, and we honor your presence here tonight, King Jesus. We honor the authority of God, the highest authority. We honor you, King Jesus, the King of all kings. Seated on the throne. And I thank you that even as we have exalted you in praise tonight, that you sit enthroned on our praises, that you inhabit the praise as we've lifted you up, that you come and you're seated as the blessings go up, the presence and the glory of God comes in the room and you manifest yourself. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for Pastor Donna, and I thank you for your grace on her life. I thank you that in this season, Nehemiah 8:10, that he says, do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. I thank you, Lord, that in this season, that there is an increase of joy that she's going to be experiencing. And I thank you, Lord God, that there is going to be laughter in the midnight hour. And I thank you for not only strength that comes from the joy in her soul, in her spirit, but God, I thank you even in her physical body, that you're going to find more actual like physical energy that's going to hit your body in these next days, because the joy of the Lord is going to strengthen you. And I just see God just making everything aligned with his kingdom in your physical body. And I thank you, Lord God, that everything is reset according to the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And that strength, I just see new strength and new vitality. And it's Hebrews 12:2, where it says, we look unto Jesus and we run the race. God's giving you strength to run the race, to run with endurance. And it's always been in there, but I'm telling you, in this season, you're going to see a manifestation of the strength of God, the joy of God, and the energy of God working inside of you. Paul says in Colossians 1:27 that it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. But then he says in the next verse, he says that his energy is working so mightily within me. And I see the energy of God working powerfully within you to energize you and quicken you, not only in your soul, but in your body. And so, Lord, we release supernatural strength, and that the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead quickens her mortal body and gives strength and vitality to her in a supernatural way. We release on earth as it is in heaven. And we thank you. I just see also Psalm 8, I believe it's verse 2. He says, verse 4, he says that he crowns us with glory and with honor. And I just see God putting a crown on you, and he's honoring your stand. He's honoring your stand of faith. And it says, and the psalmist said, what is man that you are mindful of him? What is the son of man that you even visit him? But God says he's visiting you in this hour and honoring you with the crown upon your head. He's crowning you with glory and with honor, with glory and with honor, with glory and with honor. And watch as God begins to exalt you in this season to places of glory and places of honor. You're going to be seated at tables in this next season that it's going to be places of glory and honor and a realm of influence for the kingdom of God. And God says there's going to be a voice that's going to come through you as well. And it's those in Revelation 4, the voices that proceed from the throne of God. And God says there's going to be a voice that proceeds from your mouth. And as you speak, I'm telling you, people are going to encounter the living God. I really feel like that your words are going to carry that spirit in life that Jesus' words carry. And as you speak, I see you like sitting at this dinner table. And as you speak and just literally testify of what the Lord has done in your life and the word of the Lord, I'm telling you, people are going to get encountered by the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon them, and they're going to visibly or they're going to physically feel the presence of God come on them and ask what just happened. And that's going to be your moment. And I really feel like there's going to be those tables of honor that God's going to seat you at. And there's going to be some I would say higher up authority type of people, or higher ups, up and outers, whatever you want to call it, that they're going to actually encounter the living God, because God's going to use you in a supernatural way. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, somebody give God praise in the house tonight. Woo! Just pull, just keep on pulling. Lord, we pull on your presence tonight. God, we thank you. We thank you. There's no one like you. There's nothing like your presence. There's no one who can love us the way that you love us. There's no one who can touch our hearts the way that you can do it, God. Father, thank you for the way that you've loved us. Thank you for the mercy that you poured out. Thank you, Jesus. And Anton, I just feel, I don't know, this, just receive. I feel like in this, that God just wants to let you know, Hebrews 12:24, he says, that we've come to the blood of Jesus. It's better than the blood of Abel. He said the blood of Jesus, who speaks a better word. And I feel like God is, here's a throwback to a Marvel movie. I don't even know if you like Marvel, but whatever, here we go. There's this, with Black Widow, she was known, she had like what was called the Red Ledger, and she had this history that it was like all of the, whatever the criminals would try to use against her. But I feel like God just wants to remind you of the power of his blood today, that literally all of your red ledger, so to speak, all of your past, I feel like the Lord wants to remind you that it's literally all been washed away. and the voice of the blood is going to be amplified in your life today and this in this season, because I just sense that sometimes the voices of guilt or shame or condemnation try to knock at your door to try to make you look backwards. But you know, we're driving a car, the windshield's really big, and the rearview mirror is really small. And I feel like in this season, God wants you to look straight ahead and to move forward with confidence because of the blood of Jesus. He wants you to know that everything's been completely washed away. The red ledger is completely gone, and the voice of his blood is like a wind behind you, pushing you forward into your destiny. And I see increase, and I see it's Psalm 18, I believe it's verse 19, where he says, God, he said, he brought me out into a spacious place, and he rescued me because he delighted in me. And I see increase. David said, he brought me out into a spacious place. I feel like there's about to be increase in your business. There's about to be expansion. I see up to even like 3 new locations. Like God's going to expand, and it's going to be like little franchises, if you will. I don't know what the right words are. I'm a preacher, so whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just say what it sounds, what it seems like. But I'm saying, like, I feel like I see that expansion coming. And David also said in Psalm 16, he said, the lions have fallen for me in pleasant places. And I just feel like God is increasing your boundary lines. He's stretching out all of the boundary lines, and he wants you to look straight ahead, straight into the plans and purposes that he had. Just like Paul said, forgetting what's behind, I press on towards what's ahead for the upward call in Christ Jesus. And there's, I'm telling you, great increase is coming your way, bro. And God knows he can trust you with it, because you've already been faithful in these last seasons, in these last years. And I feel the heart of the Father over you tonight as a proud father, looking and smiling over you and saying, thank you for stewarding what I've given you and stewarding it well. God says you've been faithful. And it's not even, when I say faithful with little, some people would look at what you have and go like, I ain't calling that little. But in the realm of the kingdom, God's saying what you've had, it's little compared to what he's about to bring, the increase and expansion. And I'm telling you, when I say that, because I want to give a context, because God is saying, I'm pleased with how you've been faithful to steward the little that I've given you. Context of little. In the context of eternity, little. And God says, I'm about to add to you because you've been faithful. And he really just wants to say thank you for being a good steward. And you're a son that he can trust. You're a son that he can trust. Amen? Come on, thank you, Jesus. Woo, hallelujah. God is in the house tonight. We love you, Jesus. Come on, just for a few more minutes, actually for the whole rest of your life, keep pulling on heaven. Not just for a church service. Not just while we're in here, because man, I'm telling you, this is a house of revelation. I love being at PFC. And we have a saying at home that says, a church alive is worth a drive. Because I drove about 3 hours to get here today. Come on, somebody. And that's okay. I'm not trying to make, oh, this is my big sacrifice or whatever. It's small compared to what God gives. Because honestly, every time I leave this place, I come more filled and more full than when I've arrived. I come back home more full. So Lord, we love you, and we pull on heaven tonight. We pull on your presence tonight. And we thank you, Jesus, that you're near, that you are so close and you're so near. I love the fact that you literally draw near to us, and you're closer than the breath that we breathe. God, thank you so much. Thank you for you're a God of grace, and you're a God of mercy. You're close. And I don't know, bro, I just feel like, Jonathan, that this, I see it like it's Psalm 73, where Asaph, he writes and he says, it's good for me to be near the Lord. He says, whom have I in heaven and what have I on earth? He says, earth has nothing I desire besides you. And I sense the nearness and the closeness of God in this. We know this, like, he's Emmanuel. He's always with us. But I don't know what it is, man. I feel God is going to visit you in ways that really, really near. He's going to come really, really close. I know the theology. We know the theology. He's already inside of us. But he's going to manifest himself in nearness in this season. And it's Psalm 73 where David said, or it's not David, Asaph said, he was looking at everything that was going on around him. And he said, I don't get what's happening. And then he says, until I entered the sanctuary, then I understood. And I just feel like this nearness is going to come and bring so much more clarity. Again, I'm not trying to say you don't, because we talk and I know you know God. But I'm saying this because there's going to be so much heavenly clarity that comes from the sanctuary of God. And I feel like God is going to just come and be a friend that's closer than a brother. He's going to come and you're going to just feel his nearness. And it's going to be so satisfying. It's going to be so much more than you ever could ever dream of. And he's just going to be there with you. He's just going to be there. Oh, that's so good. I'm going to take that word too. And however that means to you personally, because it sounds general, but I feel like it's really specific that he's close. Father, we praise you for your nearness. Never alone and never abandoned, because we're never alone and we're never abandoned. So you draw near, we're never alone. And we're never abandoned, oh Lord, 'cause you draw near, and you're closer than my skin, Jesus. Yes, you draw near. And you're closer than the breath that I breathe. Yes, you draw near. And you're all that I've ever needed. Yes, you are, Lord. Yes, you draw near. And you're all that I've ever needed. You're all that I've ever wanted. God, you draw near. And you're all that I've ever wanted. You satisfy my heart, Lord. Yes, you draw near. And you're all that I've ever wanted. You satisfy me. You satisfy me. You satisfy every longing. You satisfy my heart. That's why I love to draw near to you. Yeah. And you draw near. 'Cause you're all that I've ever wanted. Oh, you draw near. You're all that I've ever wanted. Oh Lord, you draw near. You're all that I've ever wanted, oh Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lene, just lift your hands to the Lord. The Lord's, I just feel Psalm 37:4 for you tonight. And he says, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. And I feel like for you in this season, God is going to what we've been singing, that he's going to bring a level of satisfaction and fulfillment in your heart like you never experienced before. that God is going to love on you like you've never experienced before. I'm telling you, as you delight in Him, He is going to give you the desires, and this is going to be a season of fulfillment for you. This is going to be a season where you're just going to feel like, wow, I am a cup overflowing. Like, I have so much more than enough than I could ever dream of. Not that you ever haven't felt God's love or anything like that before, but this is your season to be so overwhelmed at how much God is amazed with you. I'm telling you the truth tonight. I see you like, and it reminds me of the same, I'm gonna cry now. It reminds me of the same heart that my wife has, because First Peter says that the woman of God would be gentle and like have a gentle spirit, and and I believe my wife is beautiful inside and out, and I believe on the same thing for you. But he said that their beauty wouldn't come just from the outward adornment. Their beauty would come from within as a spirit, a gentle and quiet spirit. It doesn't mean that you have to be actually quiet in the way you talk. It just means you're humble and you're submissive to the Spirit of God. And that's what you have. You have a quality that is very, very valuable before God. And God wants to know that you're very precious in His sight. And you actually really, really make Him smile. I feel God just wants to pour out His love on you tonight. It's really, really good. Because the sensitivity that you have to the Spirit of God is really, really precious in the sight of God. God says what you have in your heart is more valuable than all the money in the world. Because you have something that is like a magnet to the presence of God. You have a heart that's yielded to Him. You have a heart that says yes to Jesus no matter what's going on. And you want more than anything else, you just want whatever God wants for your life. It's like that Solomon heart. And God says, because you've chosen the right thing, because you've chosen the one thing, I have no problem giving you whatever else. I have no problem handing you and adding to you, so to speak, like the things of the kingdom. Or seek first the kingdom and all these other things will be added to you. And so, Lord, I just release the blessing of God over Lene tonight. And the smile of the Father, that she is one who knows how to delight herself in the Lord. And God, I thank you in this hour. You are giving her fulfillment like she's never experienced before. And I pray, Father, that you would release like wave upon wave upon wave, the waves of your love, the waves of your unconditional, everlasting, perfect love. That you're kind of, this is the kind of love that's not lacking in anything. God, I thank you that you fill and overflow her like David's cup overflowed. Let her cup overflow. In Jesus' name, we bless your holy name, Jesus. Oh, you're so, so good. You're so, so good. Man, I want to preach, but I just can't yet. I'd rather just be in this. We'll get there. We just honor your presence, Jesus.
You're all that we want. You're all that we need. You're all that we want. You're all that we need, Jesus. Yes, you're all that we want, God. You're all that we need. And you're giving us everything we need comes from you. Your hand has provided everything we need comes from you. Oh, all that we need, Jesus. All that we need comes from your hand. You open up your hands and you satisfy our every desires, Lord, with abundance.
Yeah, Donnie, I just want to just pray for you, bro. I just feel like a couple verses that come to my heart when I'm thinking of you, I feel like the Lord is going to bring some really like a bunch of provision to you in the season. I see God like just really blessing you with all the provision that you need. Now we know scripturally that's happening, but I feel like God is highlighting this to you to say, I'm gonna reveal myself to you as Jehovah Jireh, as the Lord who provides. And you're about to see an abundance of favor come to you. And I feel like it's like, I see like the storehouse where Joseph went before everybody and basically prepared a harvest so that when the famine came, he had more than enough. And I see you going, God's going to have you go into his warehouse, so to speak. And he's going to bless you with so much provisions, man. God's going to take care of every single need that you have. And not only that, he's going to do more than above, more than enough. Because he's not a God of just getting by. He's a God of more than enough. And I see that. And I also see Matthew 11:28. And Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Then he says, take my yoke upon you. And he says, and learn from me, because my yoke is easy, my burden is light, and you'll find rest for your souls. I feel like God in this hour is gonna yoke himself up to you and teach you how to walk with him in a restful way. And it's not that everything on the outside is going to change, but something on the inside is going to change, because you're going to actually probably increase in busyness in the next season, but God's going to show you how to do it from a place of yoke is easy and burden is light, from a restful place. Yeah. So Lord, we release the rest of God over Donnie, and we release the provisions of God, and we say, Lord, let it all come to him. We pull on your word and we say yes to it and let it come. In Jesus' name. Wow. Thank you, Lord. I don't know how we're doing with time, but I feel God, so it feels good. Oh, we love you so much, Lord. You know, sometimes just being in God's presence is what you need. And I 100% billion percent believe in the preaching of the word, and I will share some stuff that was on my heart. But I do believe that just being with God does something to your mind, does something with your spirit that you can't get anywhere else. You can't find it in a counselor. I appreciate them. You can't find it in a doctor's office. I appreciate them. You can't find it Netflix binging. Come on, somebody. Yeah. I'm not even sure I appreciate that one, though. What you get from the presence of God is something that you can't get anywhere else. Because his mind starts to get in your mind. His love starts to fill up your heart. And I'm telling you, everything changes. And that's why I love just worshiping. That's why when I gave my life to Jesus, I'm going on 21 years. Lord, have mercy. I'm growing up. I'm an adult now. 20-something years ago, the one thing that I loved more than anything was to worship and be in the presence of God. Because I knew, coming from a lifestyle of a lot, like fighting depression, fighting anxiety, and really fighting the voice of condemnation, like, feeling like I was just really less than, getting in the presence of God, all of that disappeared. And I would just weep as I worshiped God. When I worship here on the platform, this is just an outflow of what's been happening for 20 years of meeting with God in my car, meeting with God in my room, meeting with God in my office. And my wife knows every day when I go in there, I'm blasting the music and I'm singing at the top of my lungs. They're like trying to do homeschool down the hallway and I'm singing, his name is Jesus. You know, like I'm just going on, I'm singing my own song and I'm going for it. But why? Because I tasted that and I'm seeing that God is good, and I found it nowhere else in the world. And I've seen some really cool things and all that, but nothing. I mean, even the things of the kingdom I've seen. And where I remember years ago, we went on a trip to Brazil, and my friend prayed for this blind lady. Some goopy stuff fell off her eyes, and she totally got her sight back. It was awesome. We saw the blind see, and since then, we've seen the cripple walk and see the deaf hear, and I've seen metal dissolve out of people's bodies and crazy miracles. But at the end of the day, the emotions of those moments fade away. But guess what? I get to still go into my room and meet with the King of Kings at any single time that I want to, and it's better than anything else that I've ever tasted. So not, I'm not just saying like, oh, I left my sinful past behind. Yes, we do that. But even at the same token, even sometimes I've seen amazing supernatural things happen in my midst. Like, I'm telling you, crazy supernatural things, and I love them, and I will continue to pursue God to see that happen. But at the end of the day, I love that I just get to meet with the one who does all that stuff. I was in that Brazil when my friend prayed for that blind lady, and she got healed. And I was leading worship in a service, and he prayed for her in the middle of the service, and the lady started running around shouting. And I was like, okay, this is how this kind of church is. I'm happy with that. That's okay. Y'all can shout if you want to. And then I realized it was a blind lady and all this. So I was like elated. And on the plane home, which was only a day later, the Lord spoke to me from Luke chapter 10. He said, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but he says, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And I wanted to extend the emotions and high of that moment of seeing this blind lady get healed, but it kept fading away and it was slipping away. I was like, no, Lord, no, please. And it went away, and then he gave me that. He spoke to me from that verse, and he said, son, you're going to see miracles. That's awesome. But what's more powerful is that you get access to the one who does the miracles. It's so good. Because that means if I chase the miracle, then the miracle's done, then that's the end. But if I chase the miracle working God, then the miracles never end. Because he doesn't stop. Who he is, he's always been who he is. And from everlasting to everlasting, he's God. So he's never going to stop being God, which means if he was a miracle worker in the scripture, that means he's a miracle worker today. And for eternity, he'll always be. And for eternity past, he always was. Who he is, he will always be. Who God is, he has always been. And he always will be. That'll make your brain a little... Because who God is never changes. And I love that about God. And that sets him apart from us in the sense of that he's God, we're made in his image, and praise God. But it sets him apart because me and you, we change and we're being transformed. God doesn't know change because he's always been who he is and he'll never be anything different. He's a good God. He's a big God. Woo! Everyone say amen. I want you to turn, and I want to say a quick word, but saying that as a preacher, I'm not sure if that's true, so... A quick word, you know what I'm saying? It could be like a day, like 1,000 years. You know what I'm talking about? Who knows? But I want you to turn to Luke chapter 8, verse 40, if you have a Bible. If not, just hear the word, because I feel like the message that I wanted to share, it was funny because it was, when I got asked, it was just, I was like, man, right when I got asked, I already knew God had been speaking to me from this passage, and I said, wow, okay, this is what we're talking about tomorrow. And so, I said, all right, here we go, Luke 8:40. And I'm going to read a few scriptures to you, and then I'll probably summarize the rest of it just for the sake of time. But Luke 8:40, the scripture says, so it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. I'm going to read that again because this is so good. It was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. Everyone say, welcomed. They welcomed Jesus. Why? Because they were all waiting for him. The NIV says they were all expecting him. You welcome people that you're expecting to come. I used to have a small group at my house, and the start time was 7. And some people would show up at 6:40. And I'm like, dude, the house is not even clean yet. You're not welcome because we're not expecting you at that time, homie. Get out the house so we can vacuum. You know what I mean? Because we'd be like still getting everything set up, and he'd just like roll in and just sit on the couch. And I'm like, dog, I feel like I'm supposed to entertain you, but there's dog hairs everywhere. I got to vacuum, you know? Like, so what am I saying? When you welcome people because you're expecting them. If they come, you're welcoming them because you've expected them to come. And that's the flip side of the homeboy that used to come to our house all the time. But for these guys, they welcomed Jesus because they were all expecting him. And it was a multitude. So there was a lot of people that were expecting Jesus. And I love this because everyone was excited to see Jesus. The multitude, that's a lot of people. They welcomed him because they expected him. They anticipated God coming. I want to ask that anytime that we come to PFC or wherever we go, what are we expecting? What did you come for? I wrote a song recently that said, I came for a miracle. I came for a breakthrough. I came so I could see you moving in your power. I came for an encounter. I came for a healing. I came so I could see you, God, moving in your power. What are you expecting God to do? And I find that God will many times meet us at our expectations. Now, he can go beyond that sometimes because he's God, he does whatever. But many times, and most of the time in Scripture, he'll meet you where you expect him to be. That's faith and expectation. And so other stories in Scripture, which actually this is the beginning of one of them, the woman with the issue of blood, she expected that when she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, that she's going to get healed. Now, there's some scripture, there's one scripture in Malachi that could be, she could have known that. It says that the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. Some people believe that where it says wings, it actually, in Hebrew, is the tassels of his prayer shawl. And so she believes, according to Malachi's prophecy, that there's healing in his wings. So if she touches, she can get the healing. Whether she heard that or not, that kind of healing was not a super common thing that you just reach out and touch someone's garment. In other words, she had faith and expectation, and God met her right where her expectation was. She said, and she spoke it out loud, she said, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. God met her in her expectation. And how do I know this is wild? Because Jesus didn't even expect it. Jesus didn't know it until she touched him. In his omniscience and all of that, Jesus was also Son of Man, Son of God, but yet Son of Man. And in his and so she touches him and he says, who touched me? He said, because I felt power come out of me. Jesus literally felt the dunamis power of God, explosive miracle-working power, come out of him. And he said, whoa, someone must have just pulled on heaven right there. Someone must have just pulled by faith on the power of God. What was it? She had expectation. But this is what's crazy to me about this story. Because as I look at this, I'm thinking, let me just read a couple more verses because I want you to see this. It says, the multitude welcomed him because they were all expecting him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. Listen to this. But as he went, the multitudes thronged him. That word in some other translations, they pressed all around him. It actually means they were choking him. Actually, the same Greek word for thronged is the same word earlier in the chapter where Jesus is telling the parable of the sower, and the seed that fell on the thorny ground was the seed that got choked up and it bore no fruit. That word for in my, okay. I see where, okay. Check one, two. Check this out. The word, here, you want to take this back to him, bro? Thanks, man. The same word for choked out the seed of the word of God is the same word where they were about to choke Jesus out when he was moving because there were so many people around him. Hence why Jesus, when the woman with the issue of blood touched him, he said, who touched me? And all the disciples are like, Jesus, there's a lot of people here. Everyone's touching you. Why did they say that? Because of what we just read, there were so many people that were pressing in and almost crushing Jesus. So watch this. You finish the story. Not only did the woman with the issue of blood get her healing and her miracle, but Jairus' daughter got raised from the dead. I mean, that's a powerful miracle. She got touched by God. The power of God moved. But what is so crazy to me is that the multitudes, there was, I don't know how many's in a multitude, but I'm thinking it's a lot of people because usually multitude sounds like more than five. You know what I'm saying? The multitudes, out of all the multitudes, there was only two people that got a miracle from Jesus. Is that crazy to anybody? There was literally an entire multitude, but only two people got something supernatural from God, which tells me this, that hype doesn't heal. Hype doesn't heal. You can get excited as you want. You can get excited as all get out. You can shout. You can do all the moves, all the crazy stuff. But if there's no faith involved, there's no healing going to come. Hype doesn't heal, but faith pulls on the realm of heaven. And this is what's crazy because they had the expectation down. They were like, Jesus, you're amazing. We love you. We've seen you do stuff. We just came for a show. That's what happened. They all just came for a show, but they didn't come to pull on heaven and to get something from God. But Jesus was there to give away. He said he didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom. Jesus was on a mission as a servant to give away the heart, the love, the power of the Father, but only two people got from God. That's crazy to me. Only two people pulled on heaven. Everyone was excited and they welcomed him, and I believe in expectation, but your expectation has to go to the place of faith. It has to pull on heaven. It can't just be like, well, I'm just in the crowd. I got a selfie with Jesus. This is exciting. We're all moving together. Like, my friend, I got to go backstage when Kanye was doing his tour a couple years ago, and I got to be like right up front. You know what I did? I took a selfie with Kanye. I said right there, but you know, I pretended like, and he was all posted up like a gangster, like with that mean face. And I was like, ha, and I smiled and took a picture. How many know? I don't know Kanye, but I got a selfie with him. What's the point of that? You want me to switch? Yeah. Here we go. Ooh, yeah, I feel more powerful now. But what's the point? You got a whole multitude that just wanted to get a selfie with Jesus, but they didn't want to pull on heaven. And I wonder, man, I wonder if in our hearts sometimes that we don't actually end up in the same group as them. Well, we're in the right room or around the right people, but it doesn't make a difference unless you're pulling on them. And only two people got it. And this is why I actually believe that only two people received a miracle. Not only does hype not heal, faith does. The crowds actually were a living example of the parable of the sower. What do I mean? Because the seed of the word was choked out by the thorns. Jesus is the word, and he was about to be choked out by the people. So the thorns represent something, and they're this exact same thing as the people. Watch this. Jesus said that the thorns, the seed that falls on the thorny ground, the thorn chokes it out, and the seeds represent the cares of this world, the pleasures and the riches of this life, and it bears no fruit. Guess what happens? The people actually were a physical representation of the thorns. And although they got around Jesus, they were too caught up in the cares, the pleasures of this life. And so the fruit, that the seed of Jesus who was right there with them, wouldn't bear fruit in their lives because they were choking him out. Did you see that? Is that crazy? That means when we are completely caught up in the trappings of this world, according to Jesus, he said that there's actually no fruit in that kind of mindset. But Colossians 3 says, since then, you've been raised with Christ. You set your hearts, you set your minds on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. I know I'm in the right house because I know this is a house who pulls on heaven and talks nothing but the kingdom and the mind of Christ and the heart of God. But we have to shun the cares of this life and the cares of this world, because all those things are passing away. And if we get anchored in this world, we bear no fruit in the kingdom realm. And what's crazy is they had the hype down, but inside of their hearts, I believe they were still anchored to this earth. They were still anchored in pulling on this realm instead of pulling on heaven, which is why they could brush shoulders against Jesus and not get a single thing from him. I don't know about you, but if I'm going to be standing next to Jesus, I'm going to be soaking up all the anointing I could possibly get from Jesus. I'd be like, let me just hold on to you. I'd be like grabbing his leg. He have to like when my kids grab my leg and I scoot him like this across, like that would be me on Jesus. Like, you can't get rid of me, Jesus. I'm pulling everything out of you. he wouldn't even have to ask who touched me, because I'd still be locked onto his leg. I'm taking everything that I can get from you, Lord. And he loves that. He loves it when his people take from him. He loves it when his people draw from him and receive from him, because that's what he created us for. God did not create us because he was bored. God did not create us because he was lonely. God created us because he was generous. Generous God. He wanted to share what he had within himself in the Trinity. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost had glory before the world began. And Jesus said, restore me to the glory that we once had. He's alluding to the fact that before we came on the scene, God was doing quite well without us. But he's so generous. He said, I have to share this with somebody. I want someone else to know how awesome it is to be in this holy Trinity. And he made us, and so we could share. So listen, God loves it when we pull on him, because he's a generous God. It's in his nature. God so loved the world that he gave. Giving is a fruit of love, and God is love, and He can't help but give. He can't help but be generous. God knows no lack. He knows no lack. He's only abundance. This is who He's El Shaddai, the all-sufficient God, the more than enough God. He wants to give to you. And so when we come with false humility saying, like, I'm not worthy, I can't, like, He's like, come on, man. I paid the price so you could have everything. He said, it's my good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I want to bless your socks off. I want to pour out on you. This is the love of God. He's so generous. God made us to be recipients of the kingdom, recipients of His love. And for all eternity, we're going to be seated in heavenly places with Him. And it actually tells us why. He says, so that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His kindness towards us. I mean, that's going to be a really good time. Okay, not really going to be a time, because the time's not going to, whatever. You guys know about time here. Y'all know. So only two people pulled on Jesus because they were caught up in the trappings of this world. And I think it's crazy because the cares of this world, the riches, the pleasures, all the things of this life. I think about this a lot lately. And I think, because I don't know about y'all, but, you know, growing up, I would think, man, if I had millions of dollars, what would I do? And then I would, like, plan out these, like, vacations and all these things. And as I've been thinking about it lately, I'm like, I really don't want anything else. And all those things are fun, and I would appreciate them. Like, my brother-in-law bought us, like, paid for, like, a good chunk of our Hawaii. We got to go to Maui last year. It was awesome. I'm not saying, like, if the blessings are coming, I'm not going to deny them. But what I'm saying is, if I can just serve the Lord, be with my wife and be with my kids and build a good family and do whatever God has called me to do on the earth, I'm really good with that. Buy me a mansion or give me a Ford Pinto, whatever. It's a little harder to get around in that bad boy, but you know what I'm saying? I would like a blessing, a provision, so that way it makes the mission a little easier. Come on, somebody. And I'm not offended when people want to buy jets to go preach the gospel. I have no problem with that because they can get around the world a lot quicker and save tons of souls. Like, I'm not offended by that either. But what am I saying? I'm saying all of that is not what I'm living for. I'm, like, really, really happy to be with Jesus, love my wife, and to be the best dad that I can be. And, of course, do the ministry that God's called me to do, whatever that may be, whether it's worship and whatever it is. I'm like, with COVID going around in the last 2 years and doing all kinds of crazy stuff, like, I'm not afraid to die. Like, you can't threaten me with more of God. You're going to threaten me with heaven? Okay. Nice plan. I say this because the reason why I'm happy to be here is because I want to be here with my wife, I want to be here with my kids, and I want to actually do what God asked me to do on the earth. But, like, if God says, hey, it's time, and I trust He's going to do to take care of my family, He's going to do everything that needs to be done, and you can't threaten me with more of the presence of the fullness of the kingdom of God, like, standing there face to face with Jesus, like, you're going to, you get what I'm saying? And I'm trying to say that the world is trying to throw fear all around, but to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, that's so good. Because I just know this is what God has called me to do. I'm just going to do what He asked me to do. And these guys were so caught up with the world, they didn't get anything from Jesus. Out of a multitude, only two people got Him, because hype doesn't heal. But this is what I love. That if you keep going down the story, I already quoted all this, but the woman with the issue of blood got healed. But then in verse 49, this is Luke 8:49, it says, while He was still speaking, because He just told the woman, she said, well, let me go to verse 48 just to show you this. He said to her, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith, everyone say faith. Your faith has made you well. Because hype doesn't heal, but faith does. He says, go in peace. And then verse 49, while He was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to Him, your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher. What do you do when the world hits a wall? Listen to what Jesus said. But when Jesus heard it, He answered him, saying, do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well. He said, only believe. Don't be afraid. Just believe. What's that? That's called faith. And faith is a substance. Hebrews 11:1, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. I love what I love about faith, that Greek word for substance, it means a title deed. It means you have it. I have a title deed to my house because we own our house. And I have a title deed to my truck out there because I own my truck, because it's an ownership. And faith is the ownership of the things that you can't see yet. Faith is a substance. And what I love about the substance of faith is that the substance goes beyond the circumstance. And so Jesus just says, listen, I know the facts. The facts say that your daughter just died and we were on our way to go minister to her. And what happens when you're on your way to the miracle and it seems like everything has just gotten far worse? You keep going. That's what you do. And Jesus said, don't be afraid, only believe. When everyone else quit, Jesus kept moving. Listen, when everyone else quit, when everyone else was locked into the trappings of this world, the cares of this life, Jesus never stopped moving. He said, listen, I'm going to keep walking. Just believe. Just have faith. Just trust. Just trust me at my word. This is what God is looking for. He's looking for a people who would say yes to him and say, I trust that whatever you said is coming to pass in my life. I trust you. Because his promise, I was saying this earlier, but the theologians call it the immutability of God. What does that mean? That he cannot change. He will never change. He says, I, the Lord, I change not. And what that means is not only his character, but his word. That means whatever he said, it's up for grabs for all eternity. You can pull on that. And it just takes this little mustard seed of faith to say, God, I believe whatever you said, because your promise will never change. Never, 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 for all eternity. The earth and the flowers of the grass and all that will fade away. But God says the word of our God will stand forever. That means we have an anchor in something that is unshakable. Whatever God has promised never will return empty or void. Always to fulfill what God sent it to do. And so that's what I love about faith, is because faith goes beyond. It's a substance that goes beyond the circumstance. And it says, I don't know what's happening around me. Abraham, in hope, believed against all hope. And he became the father of many nations, just like God said he would. Because he trusted God outside of the circumstance. Why? He had the substance of faith. The substance of faith goes beyond the circumstance. And he told him, he said, listen, just believe. They go down to the house. Verse 51, he came into the house. He permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, which I love that part, because the Bible says in another passage that there was a whole bunch of people having those, I call them a dirge song. It's a mourning song, and I'm not talking about mourning like sunrise. I'm talking about weeping and wailing, and they were all crying out loud like, oh, she's dead, ah, nah, 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 like really sad music. Sometimes we go to places and it feels like the worship is a little, I call it dirgy. It feels a little down. It feels a little less than victorious. You know what I'm talking about? And I tell my wife, I'm like, honey, it's kind of dirgy in here, don't you think? She's like, yeah, it's a little dirgy. I don't like dirgy kind of worship. Dirgy worship is like life-sucking. It's just boring and it doesn't give any faith. There's no hope to anybody. And that's what they were doing outside of the house. She's like, she's dead. Here's your little violin. And just everyone's crying and wailing. And Jesus is like, all right. So you guys aren't allowed to go in the room with us. And you aren't either. Okay, faith guys, Peter, James, and John, let's go in there. Because the atmosphere of faith is so important. He said, listen, I'm kicking out all the people who already settled it. Oh, they thought she's dead and that's the end. I love Jesus. He said, I am the life, I am the resurrection, I am the life. That means he is resurrection, not just something he does, he is. Life is the power to exist, but resurrection means that you died and you got back up and you defeated death. I like resurrection. It means you went through death, kicked it in its teeth, and got back up again. And Jesus is so much more powerful. He says, I'm kicking out all of that stuff. He walks in the room and he just says to her, well, let's look at this. Verse 51, he came into the house. He permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John and the father and the mother of the girl. Verse 52, now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, do not weep. She's not dead, but sleeping. I love how Jesus sees things. He does not see like the world sees. He's got the lens of his father. And then he says, she will be made well. And then verse 53, and they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. Come on. that's a rabbit trail right there, but we're going to keep on to verse 54. But he put them all outside, took her by the hand, and called, saying, little girl, arise. Then her spirit returned. She arose immediately, and he commanded that she be given something to eat. Come on, rejuvenate that body. And her parents were astonished, and he was charged, and he charged them to tell no one what had happened. I love this story because it shows us that it's not about hype, it's about faith. It's about finding some people that will pull on the realm of heaven in any given circumstances. These kind of circumstances would probably be amongst the worst of circumstances. If I had a little daughter who was 12 and she died, I would say that would be probably the worst circumstance you could ever see and experience. If I had an issue of blood, if I was a woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years and I spent all my money and I could never get better, I only got worse, I would say that's pretty much the worst circumstance you could be in for that lady. But I love that because God says, I'm going to go to the worst of circumstances and I'm going to show you that if you can just believe me, then I'll change everything and turn it around. It doesn't matter what situation you find yourself in. Hype doesn't heal, but faith does. And God's looking for the substance of faith because the substance goes beyond the circumstance. We're coming into some days in this world that are going to get more and more shaken. It's going to get a little more crazier. But I praise God that we got an anchor in a reality that's greater than what we see with our eyes. I believe that we're actually going to, that there's going to be a line drawn in the sand. And if, you know, one of our kind of distant friends is Sean Foyt, who's done all these worship nights all around America and gotten a lot of flack for doing it. I would say mostly from churches, so mostly from Christians. Why? Because they are offended that he's worshiping God at no cost and you're not being safe and using wisdom and all this stuff. But faith goes beyond the wisdom of this age. Faith says, I'm going to worship God no matter what anyone says. And I'm going to gather the people of God. Why? Because God said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. There's more power in us assembling together because Jesus said, where two or three are gathered, I'm right there in the midst. That means you got healing, miracle working power. Are you with me? And what I'm saying is that there's going to be more crazy stuff that happens. The Pharisees are going to try to rise up and persecute the church again, if I could say it like that. That there's going to be people like Sean Foyt who are like a tip of the spear that are going to worship God regardless of Nebuchadnezzar's decree. You follow me? And they're going to do it at any cost, and there's going to be a line drawn in the sand. Are you going to go all in for Jesus? Or are you just going to be kind of on the sidelines and wait for it to get a little less hot? And I'm telling you, I believe this, and I'll land on this. When I was here in January, and do you guys remember the presence of God came so strong, the fear of the Lord came in the room, and I remember God just moving. Well, God did something in me here, and when I went to lead worship down in San Diego that night, I felt the word of the Lord come forth, and God said, basically, I'll summarize it, that you can choose this day whom you're going to fear. You can fear God, or you can fear COVID. You can fear God or you can fear anything else that's less than him. And I believe that God is restoring the fear of the Lord back to the church. The fear of the Lord is not being afraid of God. The fear of the Lord is a reverent honor and respect and a consecration unto him in every single area of your life. And I actually believe we're in a season where God's restoring the fear of the Lord back to the church. I shared a little bit here, but what happened at night, I felt like the Lord was saying that God said that God is restoring his fear, but if that the churches don't repent to embrace the fear of the Lord again, then God will remove their lampstands. And what does that mean? It doesn't mean they're all going to go to hell. It just means that their churches will no longer be a church anymore. I actually believe we're in a season that God will start removing lampstands if they're not going to take a stand. Hello. That's what lampstands do. They stand. And if you bow when everyone's bowing, you won't stand out. That's what made Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego so significant, because everyone decided to bow and they stayed standing. And God's looking for a remnant of people in this day that when everyone's bowing to the decrees of the land that are not sanctioned by God, will we still stand? I don't know about you. Actually, I know about you because we're at PFC. Come on, somebody. We got the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego company here that would say, I would rather get thrown into a fiery furnace than compromise my faith in God. I have no other option. God don't, listen, I don't have an option. Like, if my Christianity doesn't work out, I don't have another option. There's no options. It's only option A. There's no multiple choice. It's just A. Like, I burned all of that stuff. I have nothing to go back to. I deconstruct to what? I have nothing to, like, deconstruct. Like, it's dumb. It's a lie. It's not faith. It's just going backwards. And I don't know about you, but I want to move forward into the things of God. And I want to see him get glory, all the glory that he can get on the earth. Like Habakkuk prophesied, as the waters cover the sea, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will fill the earth. That people would have revelation of the goodness of God. Woo, hallelujah. So I just say, let's take a stand for the Lord, because I believe that in these days, there's coming some crazy stuff down the pike. But guess what? Darkness covers the earth. Thick darkness is over the peoples. But the glory of the Lord rises upon you. And his light will be seen. And nations will come to your light. Amen. Come on, let's stand together. Oh, man. All right. The music's starting. Get the hook. Pull me off the stage. All right. Amen. I'm playing, dude. Come on, let's stand together. Did you receive the word tonight? Come on. Those of you watching online, come on. We bless you in Jesus' name. Father, tonight, come on, just open your hands. Lord, we receive the measure of faith from heaven tonight. We thank you that you've dealt each one of us a measure of faith, and we are yielded to you, and we are committed by the covenant that you shed, the blood, and we're in this covenant with you, and we say, yes, Lord, we will stand by the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, God, for a remnant of faith here tonight. That it doesn't matter if there's multitudes all around. I don't want to just be a part of the crowd. I want to be a part of the people who are pulling on Jesus. I want to see Jesus stand still over my household, because there's so much faith in my house, from my four-year-old all the way up to me. God, I thank you for families and entire households pulling on heaven. I want to give you a little faith and a testimony, and then I'm going to keep praying. But on Christmas Eve, my son, who was three at this time, he just turned four, he was 3 years old. I bought him a bunch of puzzles for Christmas. We wrapped them, put them under the tree. My son has a dream, and he tells my wife, he says, Mommy, I got puzzles for Christmas. I had a dream about it, and I saw it in my dream. And I'm like, dang, I got some prophetic kids in this house. So lo and behold, he goes and rips it open, puzzles. And I'm like, I'm telling you this because he's 3 years old, and God's given him prophetic dreams about his Christmas presents. God speaks to you the way you receive. And he's speaking to him because that's really important to him, his Christmas presents at 3 years old. And God told him what he was getting in a dream. Why am I saying that? Because if God can do it with my three-year-old, who's four now, I'm telling you, he's going to increase the realm of supernatural and prophetic in all of our lives. If we would just pull and believe like a kid. God, we thank you that the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. And God, if my three-year-old can pull on heaven and get a dream of what he got for Christmas, how much more can we pull on heaven and see the revelation of God come in our lives, to see breakthrough happen in our lives and in our families? God, we pull tonight. We pull tonight and we say yes. We say yes to heaven. We say yes to the kingdom of God. We say yes. Let the hem of your garment just move over our households. Let the hem of your garment move over our workplaces. Let the hem of your garment move in our families. Father, we pull on it. And God, if that woman could just reach out and touch tonight, we reach out and touch you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for supernatural strength. We thank you for supernatural wisdom. We thank you for strategies and blueprints from heaven. We thank you for guiding us by the Spirit of truth. You said your Spirit would lead us and guide us into all truth. Father, release wisdom and blueprints for the next seasons of our lives, that we'd see it so we can walk into it. We'd see 5-10 years up ahead. And Father, we thank you for the nations opening up to the glory of God. We thank you for the nations opening up to the prophetic word. And we thank you, Lord God, that your word goes forth out of your mouth to accomplish what you desire. And I just thank you for the spirit of revival coming to this land. And I just speak over, I see God coming to the heart of Africa. And I speak over that nation right now in the name of Jesus. I see like fire falling from heaven and coming down and touching the heart, like the very middle of Africa. And Lord, we prophesy to the heart of Africa, and we say in the name of Jesus, receive the spirit of revival, receive the latter outpouring, receive a move of the spirit of God. In Jesus' name, I speak to the nation of Malawi, and I say, receive your harvest. Now is your time. Now is your time. Receive a fresh, fresh harvest and a breakthrough. And I see God breaking strongholds. I see God eradicating witchcraft from the region and establishing his reign, establishing his rule, and a manifestation of miracles, signs, and wonders. I see like God lighting little fires, like a church there, a church here, a church there, a church here. Father, we release the fire of God, and that you would set your church ablaze in the nation of Malawi. Father, bless the heart of Africa. We send forth your light and your truth, that the light of heaven would shine down in a powerful way. And that King Jesus would get all the rewards of his suffering in the heart of Africa. We just say, Malawi shall be saved in Jesus' name. Come on, let's lift up a big shout to Jesus and thank him for his presence here tonight. We bless your name in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, brother, why don't you come up and lead us in this next part here.
Thank you, man of God. That was an incredible word. And I'd like to testify to the accuracy of the word that we are experiencing the greatest increase that we've ever experienced in my personal life and in business. And that word was right on, and thank you so much. And how important faith is, and how important it is for us to expect. Love, God loves a cheerful giver. Those that sow bountifully, reap bountifully. Those that sow sparingly, reap sparingly. And this is, it's not the hype of a thing, right? So we get a big contract, or a new job, or a new house, or a new car, or a paycheck comes in, or something comes in, we're excited, we see a healing, we're excited, but the heartbeat of God is our faith. We wake up with faith. We expect something great to happen. We look for the glory of God. We go to sleep with faith. And just like a man of God has testified, that it's the consistency of it. It's the heartbeat of God, that you can go in the room and pray and worship and magnify the Lord day in and day out. And that's our life. That's our heartbeat. Things happen, events happen, and we look for those events. We wake up and we look for the events. We believe for a big contract. We believe for a bigger business. We believe for everything that we believe for, but it's the consistency of knowing that God is with me. He's able to renew my breath. He's able to renew my heartbeat, literally or spiritually. God is able to do that. So this right here is very important, because we look right from the beginning. Abel and Cain moved God's heart. One moved in a good way. The other moved in not so good way. In the book of Malachi, they moved God's heart where God warned them and said, the reason being you expect and you don't get is because you robbed the house of the Lord. Abraham moved God's heart. Jesus moved the heart of the Father. And the Father said, I love the world so much that I've given my begotten Son. It's in the giving. It's in the giving. It's everything that we say, but faith without works is dead. It's important to demonstrate it in our giving. And bless this ministry. Bless this word so it continues to increase, continues to bless others. And this is an incredible season. And we come here not only to receive, but we come here to give out of our heart and prove that God is with us. The heartbeat of God is with us. The consistency of it. Not just get excited for a moment, the consistency of it, and continue to give consistently. I've experienced it in my life that God just never stops. If you don't stop, he doesn't stop, and he renews and he blesses. And when you don't have a voice to shout or strength to get up, he renews it, he blesses, and you look around and say, wow, look at, see what God has done. And you look for the new thing, and you continue to look and live and breathe. Give, always bless, Be cheerful in your giving. Bless this ministry. And prophesy that your seed will give forth 30, 60, and 100 fold. Live it. Live it. Expect it. Listen to what God is saying and be a part of it. Be a part of it. Welcome the word of the Lord. God bless you.
Awesome. We're going to go out with a little bit of worship as you give. I want to let you know the pastor's going to be back on Sunday dropping mad revelation, so you better come expecting that. Man, so incredible to be in a house where we have a prophet that drives himself to hear a fresh word of the Lord. Amen. Not just for us, but for the nations. Someone has to be that seed. Someone's got to plant it. Someone's got to declare what is coming. And we're so blessed, so thankful to God that he does it in this house through the prophet of the house and through us. Amen. We love you. Go out with a prophetic shout as we worship in this
shout.
Place.
Survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift him high. With all creation cry, God, we praise you.
Pastor Gary, I know you can watch it. We bless you. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you.